Welcome to From the Chair with the Most Reverend Frederick F. Campbell, Bishop of the Diocese of Columbus. From the Chair is a series created by Bishop Campbell in cooperation with St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, so that he might directly speak with his flock to address questions about living the Catholic faith. In this series, Bishop Campbell hopes to present many subjects, including life in the Church, spiritual growth, our responsibility as Christians, and our individual vocation to holiness. From the Chair is intended to encourage our prayer life, to draw us deeper into a relationship with God, and to announce the good news of Jesus Christ. And now, Bishop Frederick Campbell.
My dear friends, this reflection that I'm going to offer, I suppose, could be entitled Winter Thoughts. Since, of course, we're now in the very heart of the winter season, and feeling perhaps a little regret that the Christmas season has now ended. Although, by an ancient tradition, I suppose we could extend the Christmas season until February the 2nd, the Feast of the Presentation of the Lord, or often called Candlemas, because it is on that day that the candles that are used in our liturgy are blessed for the coming year. But there is a kind of sadness that comes with the conclusion of the Christmas season, and I think of a comment that was made to me not too long ago about this very reality. The person who was speaking to me said, "You know, after all the lights and joys and preparation of the Christmas season, now we have 2 months of darkness until we come to Ash Wednesday, when we have a very good reason to be somber and feel a little sadness. That kind of sadness, I think, produces some fruit." And, of course, complaints about the winter have been part of our culture going back centuries. And, in fact, the first poem in English that we can find is a poem that rejoices in the fact that winter is over and summer has come. And, of course, at the time that poem was written, there was no central heating. In fact, the heat that would probably be produced is from a fire put in the middle of the dwelling. And I suppose the opportunities for bathing were, as I suppose we could say, intermittent. But I feel that winter can have its own opportunities. In my past life, I've experienced 120 degrees and then a minus 36 degrees. And I think here I have experienced a variation of 150 degrees in the atmosphere around me, and I have survived. I've lived in various parts of the country, and I have a preference for the changing of the seasons, but I will admit at a more moderate rate than I once experienced. But that changing of the seasons allows us to grow closer to the nature of which so many people are now concerned, the environment, how we fit into it. But I also, when I think of our winter experience, marvel at the way that over the centuries, human beings have, through great ingenuity, allowed us to survive the extremes, and in fact, perhaps to find in them a sense of our well-being. And at the very least, during these winter months, when we are often confined more than we may want in our houses, we should remember with great gratitude the way in which, as we have developed over the many years, we have found those ways to maintain safety and comfort. And that sense of gratitude allows us to rejoice, as the Psalms often said, in every season of God's good grace. realizing that they are given to us, those periods of lying fallow, those periods of growth and fruitfulness. And that extraordinary thanksgiving, I think, is a prelude to a sense of rightness and a sense that we as creatures have so much to be thankful for. And this gratitude, I think, should also issue into compassion. I think of that Christmas carol that you may have sung about good King Wenceslas, looked out on the feast of Stephen, when the coal was round about deep and crisp and even. And in that compassion, to remember that there are many who may not share the goods that allow us to remain comfortable and safe. And in that compassion, our hearts go out to those who are in that kind of need. And from our own gratitude should come that compassion, that desire to be with others, to share that comfort and safety that we possess in these winter days. I also think of some experiences I've had during the winter, especially in a northern clime where the winter could be quite hard, but it was also punctuated by days of intense sunshine, crispness. I found that both a sense of joy, although I did not walk out very much into the cold, but also an invigoration and a realization that in the winter, when nature seems to lie fallow and asleep, our minds and our hearts seem to open up, to become more active. After all, the days are lengthening now, and perhaps we should take these days as an opportunity to understand how, in fact, during these winter months, our thinking can become more clear. We have opportunities to consider things more deeply and perhaps come to a wider and more profound understanding of why we are here and what are we called to do. For quite a bit of my life, I was part of the academic world, and it was always in the winter months that the mind seemed to be more active, that there was a greater attention I could give to study and to understanding those things that I had come to know, to a preparation, a gathering in of thoughts, of study, of research that I had done. And now, even as part of church life for so long, I find that this is an opportunity for that form of deeper thinking and much richer prayer during these months. Although sometimes we have what the world about us would call cabin fever, maybe that cabin fever is an opportunity for us to go deeper within ourselves and think of such larger questions, such as, who are we? Why we are here? A realization that in the universe there are times when we might feel quite fragile, but in the goodness and providence of God, we are yet protected. We have ways by which we can surround ourselves with the necessary environment in order to continue to flourish. It is often, as I pointed out when I mentioned good King Wenceslas, a time when we realize that our needs may be more evident and we are concerned with meeting them, that we should turn part of that concern for those who struggle through the cold, through the dark, not having that opportunity to sense a moment of interior comfort. And our hearts go out to them, as do our hands and our help. But it is also a time, since we are indoors so much, to put our house in order And I suppose that phrase could be taken both literally and figuratively. Since we're indoors, sometimes we do put our house in order. It's a wonderful opportunity to straighten out, to decide what is no longer necessary and what is. But figuratively, we can set our own souls in order. Just by considering the gifts we have been given, allowing the Christmas season, the joy of the birth of the Savior, to stretch out into our days, and to realize just how that birth of the Savior transformed our human life and human existence, we put our house in order. I think of the feast day also that we celebrate on January the 17th, the example of Saint Anthony of the Desert, sometimes called the Father of Monks. He was an individual who lived back in the 3rd and early part of the 4th century, who, while at Mass one Sunday, heard the Gospel saying, "If you want to achieve the kingdom, give everything you have to the poor and come and follow me." And St. Anthony believed that in that Gospel passage, the Lord was speaking to him directly and personally. So he did get everything he possessed to the poor, went out into the desert, into what seems the least hospitable environment for human flourishing. And there he dedicated himself to one purpose, and that is to achieving an intimate sense of the presence of God and a relationship that God has with all of his creatures. The story of his life, which stretched over 102 years, is a story of prayer, sometimes struggle, sometimes intense joy. But in a sense, it is a story of finding those things that are necessary to a truly human existence. And the first of all these is a relationship with the God who created us. And in that intense prayer, Saint Anthony began to draw others to his example. And finally, with great reluctance, he did establish a community of like-minded men who were in that desert to find that ultimate joy and peace in the encounter with God through Jesus Christ. Obviously, very few of us are drawn by God's grace to that kind of life. But I think we can all learn something from his example, that the first of our realities is the fact that we are created by a loving God and redeemed through his Son, Jesus Christ. And from this, all other concerns, all other meeting of needs, all other living out of our daily existence will follow. And I say that even though there may be a sadness that the Christmas season is over, the apparent light and joy, that can be extended deep into our life. And so as we now look forward to the great feast of Easter, we can allow ourselves to enrich the soil of our lives so that when the seed of the resurrection of the Lord falls upon us, it will bear great fruit. And this time of waiting, this time even of some darkness, will bear much fruit.
You have been listening to From the Chair with the Most Reverend Frederick F. Campbell, Bishop of the Diocese of Columbus. From the Chair is a series created by Bishop Campbell in cooperation with St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, so that he might directly speak with his flock to address questions about living the Catholic faith. Join us each Tuesday at 5 p.m. for From the Chair with Bishop Frederick F. Campbell.